Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You look great. You look great.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with It's the Interview Series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. It's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists. Discover some new ones you can grab at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Of course, we've had some fantastic guests drop by lately, including yacht rock legend Michael McDonald. I spoke with Sophia Carson, Kyle Allen, and Sebastian D'Souza about the Netflix film The Life List. Ben Barnes was here. You know Ben Barnes from The Punisher. You know him from Chronicles of Narnia. He has his debut album out that we got to talk about, as well as Talib Kweli, Peaches, Hamilton Lighthouser, Damon Albarn from Blur and Gorillaz, Adrian Belew, Daniel Ash, Emily Bett Rickards. She was here to talk about Queen of the Ring. Denise Richards was also here to talk about her new reality show. That's what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with actor Finn Cole, the British breakout who's been stealing scenes and stacking bodies on both sides of the Atlantic, from his gritty, cunning turn as Michael Gray on Peaky Blinders to going full throttle as Joshua Cody on Animal Kingdom. Finn's got that knack for playing charmingly dangerous characters, but he's more than a pretty face with a dark side. He's got a range to dig deep and surprise you with every single role. And in fact, that's what we're talking about. His latest role is in the film Last Breath, playing real-life diver Chris Lemons. There was a documentary made about that one. So this is the movie based on the documentary. He faces being stranded 200 feet underwater with just minutes of oxygen. Woody Harrelson's also in the movie. Simu Liu is also in the movie. We will be talking about how filming underwater is just as stressful as it sounds, minus the occasional dance break, thanks to Underworld's Born Slippy. You'll figure out what that's all about. As for his Peaky Blinders arc, Finn's going to tell us about how it was tough seeing Michael turn villainous, something that may have broken some fans' hearts and probably got him yelled out in public as well. And we're going to hear about how he wants to play in a music biopic. In fact, we'll hear who he wants to play. That's all on the way as we discuss Last Breath. It's Kyle Meredith with Finn Cole.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well, man. It's a pleasure to meet you, and especially because I've been following you for the past few years. You've got this new movie called Last Breath. It's a nail biter. It's I'd like to show the evidence here that I did not survive this movie. First off, I want to say congratulations on these past few years, because seeing you in Peaky Blinders and everything you've been doing, I mean, it's been so much fun to keep up with you. Like this has got to be a decent decade so far.
Yeah, it has. I think as actors, it's always a bit up and down. But no, absolutely. I've had a great time, learned a lot. I feel like those 20s, what's the phrase? 20s are for learning, 30s are for earning. So if that's the rule, then I feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah, earning. That's the fun parts.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, right. But you've got this movie. So Last Breath, I mean, as we find you, you know, here you are telling the true story of these workers who work at the bottom of the ocean on these pipes. I mean, this is one of the most dangerous jobs on Earth, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, diving into this story and learning about these guys, meeting them for real was it's just insane. It blows your mind what they do on a daily basis. And to be able to tell the story and to be able to research it and meet them and ask them all the questions. I mean, it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
So that's one of the most dangerous jobs on earth. How dangerous a job is it to make a movie about it?
Well, I don't know. We had a couple of like sketchy moments, but I think it was something with a job like this. It's so important that you learn the skills and you learn them at the right pace. It's easy to rush into something like this, but we didn't. We had extensive period of training where we got to learn the scuba and build on our skills in the pool and then in the ocean, and then start to use the equipment that the real divers use. So by the point that we got to start rolling the cameras, honestly, I can say that Simu and I both felt comfortable enough that I think we could have almost done the job for real. Not that we want to, by the way. Like the guys live in a chamber
Right.
that's about the size of a double bed for about a month. I mean, that's insane to me. They don't get to see the light of day. They're speaking with a Heliox mix gas, which means that they are constantly sounding like they've just had a hit off a balloon at a children's birthday party for a whole month. So that side of things less interesting and less exciting to me. But the actual diving and like learning the skills, I mean, it's great. Like I think a challenge like that as an actor is why we do the job. It's so exciting, and coming away with those skills, you just feel on top of the world. Like,
I mean, we hear about that a lot too, because, the fun thing about being an actor is you get to be an actor, but there are the jobs. Like, I mean, if you're doing Pride and Prejudice, you're just doing monologues or whatever and love scenes. But if you take movies like this, I mean, whether it's, Westerns and horse riding and the things we learn about that, like, is that something you like going headfirst into, like the challenges, the really physical stuff?
It's not necessarily that like it's what I'm drawn to, but when it's on the cards, like absolutely, it's something that I embrace. Yeah, I think that like it's part of the research phase, but I love learning new skills. I love being taught by the best people, asking just a million questions. I'm like that annoying kid that just keeps on asking questions about what it's like to do this job. That part of it, even if it's necessary to my performance or not, is something that is just generally interests me. I've always loved the water. I've loved the ocean. I love scuba diving. Part of the what's interesting about the actual skill as well of diving is it kind of aligns nicely with acting and the performance. You have to get yourself into a comfortable meditative state in order to step on set and do your job well, I think. I think you have to be comfortable in your own skin. You have to be prepared. You have to be away from distractions. And as a diver, you really have to do the same. It's a real meditative. You're doing a lot of breathing. You're having to be very careful about your breathing. You're constantly told, don't breathe too fast, breathe consistently. So you're put into this state where you're very, very focused anyway. And that allowed me to be better at the acting side as well. So they did actually cross. So there was a crossover, and there was some kind of alignment there.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Finn Cole. This movie included, but especially stuff you've done in the past too. You talk about learning new things. Like, how often do you really get to hold on to those and be useful? Like, I've heard the people like, oh, I did a martial arts movie, so I had to learn some martial arts, and then I never did martial arts again,
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like I have a boxing movie coming out later on this year, and I had to do a bit of boxing for that, and that's the skill that I'm trying to build on. So yeah, there are elements of parts of the skills that you learn going forward that you're going to use, but actually more often in another job. For example, now I know how to throw a proper punch, whereas before I probably looked a little bit weak. So there are skills and elements of parts of projects that you're always going to take forward with you. But yeah, I think you're probably right. I'm trying to think of like the crazy stuff that I learned to do. I mean, I don't know. I learned how to ride a motorcycle on a job a few years ago, and I now ride motorcycles and kind of got the bug for it. So there are definitely skills that I'm taking forward. But the next one for me, honestly, it's going to be, I really want to do a project about a musician or a player musician where I can get one-to-one proper guitar teaching and really hone in on some skills that I've been trying to polish for years now and be taught by some really amazing people. That's the next thing for me that I really want to learn and be taught, because this is the great thing about this job. You get taught by the best people. So that would be the next one for me to dive into that.
You want to do this, so you're using the job as a way to do
Yeah,
it.
kind of kill two birds with one stone, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah,
Do you
that
play
singing
anywhere?
maybe. I play guitar, yeah. And what was cool about this job actually is we I ended up hanging out with a friend of mine who lived in Malta, and she introduced me to some of her friends, and a few of them were in bands, and they would host these jam sessions in Malta, and I went to a couple of those, and it was the first time that I'd really played in years, I think. I mean, I'd played at home. I was a bit of a bedroom guitarist, but I hadn't jammed with other people for a long time. And there are a few blues musicians, and that's where I kind of started playing when I was at school with a friend of mine. And yeah, it was the first time I'd kind of got up and joined a jam session with there. And I think there's some footage of me somewhere up on stage, just kind of rocking out and having a really, really good time. And I got that bug back. So I'm hoping that yeah, the next job allows me to practice that a little bit more.
It's interesting how that creeps back up. I was in a touring band for 8 years, and this was, late 90s, early 2000s. And I sort of put it aside for a while. I just, it's time to, I'm not doing that now, and thought I was done. And I had a son, and of course, as he grows up and he wants to learn to play the guitar, now I start pulling it out more and more. But, and you do, it just finds its way back in. And
It's
I hear a
cool.
song and I go, I think I can learn that song right now.
Yeah.
That's,
But
yeah.
also, I imagine that like part of that is must be so cool, because seeing your son, I'm not sure how old your boy is, but like seeing someone learning around you really inspires you to learn more and practice more. And I remember this more recently with my younger brother, who picked up guitar later on in his life, sort of in his late teens. And now he's far better than me. He's amazing. He's incredible. But in those early days of him getting into sort of the blues music that I was playing, which was a lot of sort of minor pentatonics and pretty straightforward like riffs and chord sequences, him then kind of taking that and building on that was like, oh, I gotta up my game. I gotta keep playing. That's definitely made me a better player. And now whenever we hang out, he's like showing me all these new riffs and tiny little things that I can do, and I'm like, it's so easy to improve on what I already have. I just need someone to show me the way. So yeah, I'm excited for you and your boy to be
Yeah.
jamming together. Maybe that'll be the
Yeah.
next band.
That'll be it. I'm signing up for it. That's so the question that you gotta ask, right? Like, you can play a musician in a movie that, is just a character, but is there a, like, would you do the biopic? Is there someone you look like that you could pull off?
I don't know. I mean, I've been obsessed with John Martin since I was a really,
Oh
really,
yeah.
really young, a kid, really. My dad was into John Martin, and from what I know about him as a character, he's a very, very difficult man, and wasn't a particularly nice man to a lot of people, but still somewhat of an interesting character. I think that the music says something completely different as well, and always has. And some of those albums in the more kind of difficult parts of his life are so interesting to me, and have helped me through so many of my own issues in ways that other musicians, haven't even got close. So that's a character. I'm not sure if I look like him. I don't know if you can see, but I am growing out a bit of a wispy beard, and my hair is curly and receding a little bit. So I might be a little bit close, but again, it's a tricky one, because when you have so much love for an artist and know that you're never going to be that person, I mean, that's part of where the love comes from, right? It's that you know that you're never even going to touch how incredible that voice is and how special that voice is. It would have to be, I would need years of practice, and I would need the right director and the right people involved in order to help me get to that level. But he's probably the person that I'd be closest to portraying, based on the fact that I'm
Man,
just totally obsessed.
what a great story too. And not something that I expected. I mean, his catalog is incredible. Of course, his cover of Glory Box is one of the greatest covers of all time. It's
Yeah.
when you talk about that stuff. Yeah. I wish you hadn't told me that, because that's, I really want this to happen now. And I'm just
Well, exactly. I think with both biopics as well, my other point about biopics is going to be that, like, I really want to see a few, we've seen some of the greats over time play the greats, you know, and Timothy being the latest. And I haven't actually seen that film yet, but I've heard so many good things. I'm gonna go watch
I
it very
saw
soon.
it 3 times at the theater, and I
I
don't do that
cannot
anymore.
I cannot wait. I mean, I cannot wait for that. What an incredible achievement. But like, I'm also interested to see on that note, I'm really interested to see movies being made, biopics being made about artists that we know less about. Like Rodriguez, for example. Like, I don't know if you ever saw that documentary,
Yeah, Sugar
Searching
Man.
for Sugar
Yeah.
Man. Like a film needs to be made about that story, in my opinion, you know, and because the music speaks for itself anyway, and it's this hidden gem, in my opinion, that's such beautiful work. Those folk artist stories are yeah, I'd be more interested in those biopics personally. Not that I could play him, obviously, but I would love to be involved in a project about that, about him, because it's such an interesting story. So yeah, that would be what I'd love to see. But yeah,
But
I
some
don't
great
know the
ones,
rules.
like I'm thinking like how Inside Llewyn Davis sort of did that, and then Dreamin' Wild with Casey Affleck, the
Of
Donny and Joe
course, yeah.
Emerson story that just came out, what, last year. Like those are great stories, because you got Timothy doing a great Bob, and you've got Jeremy Allen White taking on Springsteen, and, you know, and those are the
Yeah.
big stories, and you kind of expect that, but to get these smaller ones, I mean, that's where the fun stuff is. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And I also think that, like, there are some genres as well that are like some of those old blues boys that were like that, you know, in the good old days are just like some of those stories that like a little bit and like how Ray kind of really opened us up to what was going on at the time, and in that movement of music. Like, I would love to see more stories about that, as opposed to the people that we know so much about, because yeah, because we already know those stories. But yeah, I mean, they're all amazing, and we've had a couple of really, really good ones in the last few years, haven't we?
That's
They've all
true.
been so fantastic.
That's true. Queen, Elton, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, all of them.
That's the genre. I mean, with no surprise that I am signed up for as soon as they arrive. So it's
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Finn Cole.
musically speaking, and I will draw it back to Last Breath for a few moments, because Underworld's Born Slippy plays a role in this, doesn't it?
Yes, so that was it was there wasn't it wasn't one that was I thought you meant it was in the film. I was
No,
like, when is
yeah,
it? I
no.
was
So
like,
it's
when was it in the film? No, you're right. Yes, so that was a we had in the tank that we're filming in, they have an underwater amplifier that you can hear everything from the dive team that are above the water. They're right above us, and the director can speak into that microphone as well, so all the divers underwater that are in the water at that time can hear really clearly what their, you know, direction, how things need to be moved around, etc. What they can also do is put music on through this amplifier, and the lighting guys, the underwater lighting guys, also have a setting on their massive light rigs called disco setting, which they can just pump all the multicolored lights out in the water. So in between takes, so when they need to do a lens change or a camera adjustment, the camera needs to come out of its waterproof housing, it needs to be dried, it needs to have all the adjustments and then put back in. Can take like 15, 20 minutes at times. During that time, this song came on, and it must have been about, it was like late at night. It was like 3, 4 a.m. maybe. Everyone's kind of feeling exhausted, and this song comes on, and there's the video on my Instagram. If you check it out, Finn underscore Cole on Instagram, you can see a video of me dancing quite like dad dancing to a to that song, to Underworld Born Slippy's song. And it's like, yeah, it's quite ridiculous, but it was just sort of, it was a brief moment, a brief lapse, and it just goes to show that, like, honestly, like, we did have so much fun on this project, and everyone involved was just like, made it so special that we could do silly things like that and then get back straight back to the work, straight back to
Right.
the serious work.
It's got to be important though, like, because I know, you know, for some people, like, you've got this history, because I know your dad has a history with water and diving and boats and everything, so I know that's in you. But still, too, for some people, like, this could be the worst environment to work in. I even think, like, you know, as we're talking about music, the Radiohead video, was it No Surprises, where Thom Yorke's in the helmet water tank, and he's like, he's not underwater, but his face is, and to see him like freaking out about this. So, you know, to have those moments that you can kind of take yourself out, like, how important was that in a moment like this?
I mean, it was in, it's always important, I think, on a film set. I remember speaking to a casting director a few years back, talking about method acting, and made a, you know, we're discussing it as a way of working or as a process. And she sort of said, I don't know what I think about method acting. I kind of think it's cheating, because the whole skill of acting is to be able to switch in and out of the role, right? And I kind of had always thought about that, like, actually, yeah, that's true. To me, that is it, because that's not, you know, when you see me dancing and fooling around on the, that is Finn, that's Finn there. And then 5 minutes later, I've got to get back into the character of Chris. And that really is the fun. And that's where I really am pushing myself. But like I say, like, you know, by that point, we'd had so much training, we'd had so much time underwater. I'd probably been submerged by that point, at that point, for about 1.5, 2 hours, and without coming out of the water. So that's underwater. Because of the umbilical cords and the equipment we're using in the movie, it's all practical, it's all real. We, as the saturation divers with the helmets, could stay underwater for long periods of time. And it, yeah, by that point, you're just like, you haven't been on your phone for a little while, you're completely in the zone, and you're just, yeah, you're ready to have fun. So, I mean, it was a special experience, and like, that's a sign of, honestly, how much fun we were having.
So how much do you think about when you're taking different roles like this? Like, you're coming, you know, this role, especially for a lot of us, you know, coming out of Peaky Blinders, you know, and the way an audience just grabs onto a character, right? And that becomes a perception of you, even though that's the role, you know, and you get to do something. Like, how much of this moment in your career starts to be about reinvention at all?
I think that what I've always looked for in roles and in new script, I mean, you're always looking for the script that keeps you kind of, as you say, with the nail biting right until the end. That's always what you're really looking for. You're looking to work with the great actors, you're looking to work with the great directors, the great everyone in, you know, that's involved in a film. So those are the things that really excite me. And when something comes along that's going to be a new challenge, whatever that story might be telling, it's really about working with the great people. And I was lucky enough when I joined this to know that I was already going to be working with Simu Liu, with Woody Harrelson, and I knew that Alex Parkinson, who'd already directed the documentary, was directing the film. So I knew that I was in a safe space. Paul Brooks, David Brooks, our producers, all of the people involved in this project had made a serious amount of good, entertaining film in their variously kind of differing careers. So I was... That's what really drew me to this one, and it's what continues to draw me to any project going forward. It's about being able to step on set and knowing that you're in safe hands, and knowing that you can put yourself out there and you can make mistakes, because you know that the people are there to look after you and to help you through this, and vice versa as well. It's a real, real team kind of effort. What's lovely about this film is that it's a survival story. It's about teamwork. It's about kind of sticking together, pulling through together, looking after one another, caring for one another. And that is what being an actor and being on a film set is really like. So, I mean, for me, yeah, the next challenge, who knows what the next challenge is going to be. If I get to learn some more skills, that's fantastic. But the process of making a movie is interesting and hard enough for me anyway. And that challenge is always going to be something that, like, I'm going to just grab and hold on to.
And you can just let those characters be whatever they're going to be to the audience. Precisely. Themselves. Yeah, that's which, you know, and I do get curious about Peaky, of course, because how do you now feel about Michael Gray's ending, knowing now that there's going to be an expanded universe and movie?
I don't know. I have a funny, like, relationship with it. I had such a special time on that show, and I hold it just so dearly. The experiences that I had, the memories, the people that I got to work with, the friendships that I've made, that I continue to hold very closely, like, it was such a special experience. It's always hard to see your character change for the worst in terms of story, but arguably change for the better in terms of new challenges and new things to do. I think that as an actor, when you think your character is going one way and it starts to change and do something slightly different, you have to completely adjust your mindset to make it work. And that was a really, really important thing for the story, but an important thing for me to have to do as an actor, and a new thing to overcome in terms of, like, sort of episodic TV drama. So I really, really was able to embrace that and use that. And then, of course, people come up to you in the street and they tell you that they hate you. You go, great. That means I did my job right. That's perfect. So I don't know. Do you know what it honestly did, that whole character arc and that change and that shift in the later seasons, without spoiling it for anyone? It made me more open to explore different types of characters within stories and embrace really how you can affect people and affect a story by playing a character that people aren't going to like. It's just as important as having the Tommy Shelby character in that story to have an equal kind of villain. So I was, in the long term, I'm so glad of it. I'm so grateful to Stephen Knight, the writer, for putting me in that situation. But of course, at the time, you're like, oh, I don't want to go against this gang, the coolest gang in the world. I don't want to go against them. But no, it was a great, great experience. And as I say, like, same thing, working with amazing people over the years that you can rely on in scenes. You can step on set with someone. When you get to step on set with someone like Helen McCrory or someone like Cillian Murphy, and know that your 50% is all you're going to have to give, because the other 50% is 100% there, it makes your life so much easier. And that's something that I hope that I can give to other people, and especially younger actors, and continue to learn from that. Lead by example and just be a good person and be there for other people on set. It's like, that's how you make the best stuff. And it feels good. It feels so good.
And the whole project gets elevated, and we can tell. I mean, it's obviously, it's noticeable in the way that show has continued to last, and looks like it's continuing to last.
Yeah.
I saw it on the screen with you all in Last Breath, the three of you all in that tin can, and how you're working off each other. I mean, that's yeah. It really is. It's evidence in the work.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredibly emotional, true story. That's the closest thing to a miracle I've ever seen. And these guys were this guy was stranded on the bottom of the North Sea, over something like over 200 feet. I think it's over 200 feet. You guys use feet, we use meters. It was very, very, very deep, too deep to just come up, swim to the top. And he was stranded there. And the story is about perseverance, and it's about teamwork, and what I love about this film, and it's unlike anything that I've done before, is that there's no villain in this story. The villain is the accident that should never have happened, but was by no means anyone's fault. And it's about a group of people coming together, and everything had to go right in order for this story to end the way that it did. And that is just like, what a powerful thing to be able to tell and to be able to do, and being able to talk about it with you, and being able to talk about it with my fellow actors and other interviews and friends and family. It just reminds us of how sort of fragile life is, and how lucky we all are. So yeah, what a special experience. And I truly believe that anyone coming out of the theater, or whether they're watching it at home, however they decide to watch it, they're gonna come away feeling really good, because it's one of those movies that you walk away and you're just like, wow. Wow.
I agree. I mean, that whole story, it is incredible. It's incredible that that guy survived, and all the stuff, you know, as we see in the documentary. I'm not giving away spoilers there, but it is an incredible story. Congrats on Last Breath. Seriously, I cannot wait to see the boxing thing coming up. I hope that there's a music movie in your future. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk all about it, man.
If there's not a music thing, we'll just have to get together. Me, you, your son, we'll all have to have a jam somewhere.
Anytime.
that sounds good.
And my thanks to Finn. You can see Last Breath now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Crowded House, Amy Mann, Belder Space, Garbage, the brand new Heavies, Fountains of Wayne, The Clash, Alice in Chains, Feist, Patty Griffin, Snow Patrol, Low Straitjackets, April March, Tom Waits, Radiohead, Sparks, and my interview with Nick Lowe. That's what you get weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Thank you so much for having me, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's more challenging than ever to meet the demands of competing priorities that work throws our way. From emails to reports and project proposals, we need help to get it all done. Grammarly is the essential AI communication assistant that boosts your productivity at work so you can get more of what you need done faster, no matter what or where you're writing. Grammarly sets the standard for responsible AI and equips you with the best tools to do your job, like AI-powered features that help you write and edit quickly everywhere you write, or tone features that help you communicate more confidently. Just a few clicks can tailor your tone and writing so you come across exactly as you intend. No wonder 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Let Grammarly take the busy work off your plate so you can focus on high-impact work. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.